One solution to slow climate change is for industrial facilities to capture carbon dioxide pollution before it reaches the atmosphere. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant looked into a new project that would transport that CO2 to underground storage wells, including in Pennsylvania, and why it has some people concerned.
Landmen are knocking on doors again, but this time it's not for oil and gas development. It's to lease land for wells to store carbon underground. The Nebraska-based company Tenaska is developing a project in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio that it calls the Tri-State CCS Hub.
My name is Brett Estep. I'm the Vice President of Development for Tenaska. And I lead our carbon capture and sequestration initiative.
Estep explains that their potential customers would be fossil fuel heavy industrial facilities like gas power plants and steel manufacturers interested in reducing their carbon dioxide emissions. There are tax incentives in the Inflation Reduction Act for each ton of carbon a facility captures and stores. It's part of the federal plan to deal with the climate crisis. Estep says its customers will capture their own CO2 emissions, and Tenaska will build the pipelines to transport it to underground storage wells in rural areas.
That's our business model, is that transport and storage piece.
Tenaska and other partners are negotiating for up to $69 million from the Department of Energy for project development. Estep says Tenaska plans to drill 15 to 20 storage wells where it will inject the CO2. Their target is to store 5 million metric tons annually. Estep says they've had overwhelming response from companies that want this service. Now they need rights from property owners so they can build injection wells on the surface and store the carbon thousands of feet underground.
So we're in what I would call the sort of mid-stage of development. We're actively negotiating with landowners for pore space rights, so the real estate right deep underground to store the CO2.
I'm going to give you enough information and things to get started.
The Ohio Farm Bureau has held meetings in eastern counties where landowners are being approached for this project.
Probably ask some pressing questions of some of the developers that are coming to your community with regard to this.
Retired Marine and police officer Ed Hashberger attended one of them. He says a few years ago, he would have been excited by a new industry like this.
I'm a diehard Republican, okay?
He and his wife have been raising chickens and enjoying the wildlife at their hilltop home with a view looking across the valley. When an energy company came knocking on his door a few years ago, Hashberger was into it.
Because drill, baby, drill. You know, we have resources here. Let's take advantage of it.
But the Hashbergers also wanted to protect the air, land, and water. So they teamed up with neighbors to get environmental protections in their gas leases. But as this whole new CO2 industry moves in, Hashberger has concerns.
You're actually going to put this stuff in the ground. What could happen if we have an accident? What can we do to mitigate these situations as they arise?
He worries about an accident like the one in rural Mississippi in 2020 when a carbon dioxide pipeline ruptured. At least 45 people were hospitalized. Many were unable to breathe. Some lay on the ground unconscious, and cars wouldn't work, so it hampered emergency response. Hashberger looks down from his home to the houses that sit along the creek.
What about the small subdivisions of the communities that are around these injection wells? God forbid that one of them burp up and release that gas and settle down there.
Neeraj Gupta is a researcher at Battelle, an independent nonprofit institute in Columbus. He's been looking into carbon capture and storage for two decades.
That's the biggest objective, is make sure that it does not leak out.
He says the carbon dioxide is compressed and then injected into porous underground rock layers, capped by a layer of impervious rock like shale to prevent leakage.
That's why we do go through very detailed characterization, seismic surveys, well testing, reservoir modeling.
Gupta explains that drillers have been safely injecting CO2 into underground rock for 50 years in a process called enhanced oil recovery. But injecting carbon into rocks and keeping it there permanently, essentially forever, is a newer idea. Gupta points to a project in Illinois that's been in operation since 2015 and one in Norway as evidence that carbon storage works.
I think we have shown that, yeah, it can be done, it can be monitored, and that pilot test work, experimental work, has been used by EPA to develop the current regulations.
In most states, it's the EPA that issues permits for CO2 injection wells. Currently, it has only 8 permits in the whole country. But the tax incentives are driving new interest, and the agency is considering 127 new wells. Still, that's just a drop in the bucket of how much storage would be needed to make a dent in U.S. carbon emissions. So far, there are no permit applications in the tri-state region targeted by Tenasca, but the company says it will submit plans to the EPA in the next month or two for wells in Hancock County, West Virginia.
So the question is, how good are these plans at making sure that the carbon that's pushed underground is contained?
Eric Schaefer is executive director of the nonprofit Environmental Integrity Project, which looked into EPA's permitting process. He says the permit application asks how the company will assure the carbon stays underground and how often it will monitor the wells.
It turns out there's no wrong answer to the question. It's kind of whatever the industry says.
He's concerned that once the storage capacity is full at a site, companies will just walk away.
One of the disturbing things we saw is you finish up the project, and within some cases 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you stop monitoring. You're pretty much, lock the door and leave.
Schaefer says if the carbon seeps out into the atmosphere, it not only presents possible dangers, it also defeats the purpose of spending all that public money to slow down climate change. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.